Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
All right, we're now ready for Jesus's clubhouse. So here's a bit of a lesson from our kids' ministry. My apologies that it's a bit small to read, but I'm going to walk us through it. The big thing to know is this is Jesus's clubhouse. This is, and it's a pathway into the clubhouse. And it's particularly helpful because it treats kids, it loves kids where they're at. And so if there's a child who's not ready to follow Jesus, they're lying down. And they can say, I'm not interested in being in the club at the moment. And then there's another kid over here. He's on the ground. He still has questions about the Christian faith and about Jesus. And so he's watching. He or she's still wanting some of the questions answered. And then there's the child who's ready to join. They're actually at the ladder. They're ready to climb up into Jesus's clubhouse. And then there's the child who has handed their life over to Jesus. They're up in the clubhouse, they're in Jesus' club, and enjoying all the action. It's a great discipleship pathway. I reckon our kids' ministry is world class. Very exciting. It's such a helpful discipleship pathway. See, it's helpful for kids to make a decision. It's also helpful for the kids' ministers to treat each child with respect on where they're at in their relationship with Jesus. And what this pathway rightly emphasizes is we are either in or we're out. Doesn't matter if we're a child or whether we're 90 years old, we're either in or out. You see, lying down on the ground, even at the ladder, is outside of Jesus's clubhouse. We're either in or we're out. We have either believed in Jesus or we haven't. But note that the three outside of the clubhouse, they're on a bit of a spectrum, aren't they? There's the not interested. There's the interested, but I've still got questions. And there's the ready, but I haven't stepped up. Now, here's what our passage is going to reveal today. There is also a spectrum for those of us who are in the clubhouse. We know it, but we don't talk about it enough. For instance, there are some days you know that God is your God and that you are loved by Him. And then there's some days where you have doubts. And then there's some days where your doubts lead you to even doubt your faith. And then there's some days when you're doing all right with your fight against sin. And then there's other days where you're losing that fight. Do those doubts and sins mean that you have stepped out of Jesus's clubhouse? No. But here's the thing. Satan loves to use our doubts and our sin to knock our confidence. As Liz read out our passage today, did you notice how the narrative went from Peter's denial to the high priest's hypocrisy, back to Peter's denials, and then back to the high priest's hypocrisy? God wants us to compare Peter and the high priest. Both Peter's denial, the high priest's hypocrisy, they are both a sinful response to Jesus. But Peter's sinful response is the sin of a Christian. The high priest's sinful response to Jesus is the sin of a non-Christian. And with all of that said, I've actually given you the outline for how the talk's going to go today. We're just going to follow the passage. There's Peter's first denial. There's the high priest, his hypocrisy first time. Then there's Peter's second and third denial. Then we come back to the high priest again and see more of his hypocrisy. And then finally, because we're looking at Jesus' clubhouse, I want to finish with Jesus is the only door. And you're probably saying, but Steve, why didn't you do ladder? I think you'll get it when we get to the end, all right? So hang in there. Firstly, the first denial. Last week, we looked at John chapter 18, verses 1 to 11, and we left Jesus surrounded by soldiers who were armed, they were highly trained, and they were ready to arrest Jesus. Now, we discovered the soldiers were also faced with an enormous problem. You see, Jesus has all the power that created a universe. And so they couldn't arrest Jesus unless Jesus let them. Now, Jesus did let them because Jesus' entire earthly mission centered on his arrest and his death in our place. That was last week. Now, read from verse 12 with me. John 18, verse 12. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. The well-trained, well-armed Roman soldiers did their job. They arrested Jesus and handed Jesus over to the Jewish authorities. The first thing to note is that the soldiers handed Jesus over to Annas. The other thing verse 13 tells us is that Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And then we're also told that Caiaphas was the high priest that year. I want you to remember those three things for when we get to verse 19. Jesus was handed to Annas, and Annas is the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now, let's go to Peter's denial. Verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. John, sometimes in his own letter that he wrote, refers to himself as another disciple. And so Peter and John is what's being talked about here. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. It's worth refreshing our memories on just how determined Peter's faith was. Peter was sold out for Jesus. Come back to John chapter 13, verse 36. John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay my life down for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Peter was all in. And last week we saw Peter put his money where his mouth was. Do you remember when Jesus and the disciples, they were surrounded by hundreds of well-armed Roman soldiers? They were outnumbered. Peter drew his sword, chopped off the ear of the servant of the high priest. If Jesus had not intervened, Peter would have been killed. Peter was all in. And then, just hours later, here's Peter completely denying knowing Jesus. I'm not one of his followers. That's Peter's first denial. And then the narrative completely shifts back to Jesus before the high priest. Look at verse 19. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, this might just be a Steve Kovitz thing, but verse 19 and verse 24 threw me. Jesus, verse 19 says, was brought to the high priest. Now, who does verse 13, remember how I said we've got to remember some things? Who does verse 13 say Jesus was brought to? Annas. Jesus was brought to Annas. And then verse 19 picks up the narrative and saying that Jesus was brought to the high priest. But then verse 34 says that Annas brought Jesus to Caiaphas, the high priest. Do you get my confusion? And it's all cleared up once we realize the history books tell us that Annas used to be the high priest. And so in the same way, you know, Americans still will call a president who's not president anymore Mr. President. Annas was called high priest, but Caiaphas was the actual serving high priest. And here's the thing about high priests. They were the leaders, the leader of the religious leaders of the Jews. And as readers of John, we know that the religious authorities spent 3 years trying to catch Jesus out. And what was proven beyond all doubt is that Jesus' teaching was true. Jesus' teaching was authoritative. Jesus' teaching was from God. And so Annas' questioning of Jesus, the servant striking of Jesus, was willful, proud, religious hypocrisy. Religious leaders are supposed to uphold the truth. And when the truth was standing right in front of them, they wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill the truth. Hypocrisy with a capital H. Now, in some ways, Peter's denial of Jesus and Caiaphas' hypocrisy are both sinful. They're both denials. And yet they are different. And I suspect it is the difference that God wants us to look into. I think that's why we got Peter, then the high priest, then Peter, then the high priest, so that we can compare. All right, so that's the first hypocrisy. Now to Peter's second and third denial, verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it. And at once, a rooster crowed. In the first century, we know from Matthew's account, Matthew's gospel, that Peter's denial It wasn't some sheepish, quiet, reticent denial. No, Peter denied Jesus with a curse. I do not know him. I swear on my mother's grave, or whatever they said back in the first century. I don't know him. And then, just as Jesus foretold, the rooster crowed. And we also know from Luke's account of the gospel that at that moment, Jesus and Peter looked at each other. We'll come back to that gaze between Jesus and Peter, but for now what we need to hear is that Peter's denials were full-blooded, self-conscious, outright denial. And then the narrative shifts back to the high priest, the religious authorities. Pick it up at verse 28. And then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Would you like to be executed on that sort of evidence? I told you, that's all you need. Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. In the first century, the Jews lived under Roman rule. They were not allowed to send anyone to be executed. They had to bring such high offences to the Roman court, which is why Caiaphas brought Jesus to Pilate, the local Roman governor. Now, let's just remember what we've already read this morning. Back in verses 19 to 24, Annas questioned Jesus, but did not come up with any incriminating evidence. In the verses we just read, Pilate could see the Jews had no incriminating evidence. When Pilate said, "Caiaphas, why are you bringing this guy to me?" Caiaphas basically said, "Well, just trust me. He's evil." There was no evidence because Jesus was innocent. Caiaphas was a corrupt, hypocritical high priest. For 3 years, Jesus made his identity crystal clear. He backed up his authoritative teaching about being the Son of God who is God with miracles that only God could do. He turned water into wine. He healed paralysis. He raised Lazarus from the dead. They were signs proving Jesus is God. But the religious authorities, pretty much from the get-go, wanted to kill Jesus. They refused to submit to Jesus. They chose to rebel. They refused to submit to Jesus. They chose to rebel. Which brings us to our final point. Jesus is the only door. Let's recall the clubhouse again. I suppose we could add another figure there. Someone standing on the ground with fist raised, "I hate you, Jesus." Now, don't panic. I'm not going to get kids ministry to put that into their discipleship pathway. But for today, we've now, over the last 4 years, seen that sort of response from the Jewish religious leaders to Jesus. Peter's denial of Jesus, it was sinful. It was wrong. It was willful. Caiaphas's hypocrisy was sinful. It was wrong. It was willful. And yet Peter's sin is the sin of a Christian. Caiaphas' sin is the sin of a rebel. This is an important distinction. Last year, I'm pointing this out, you might want to go and look at the sermons online. We worked through Romans 5 to 8. I think they are the best chapters in the Bible to understand the ongoing nature of sin in the Christian's life. Romans 5 tells us how all humans are born from Adam. We're all aligned with Adam. Unless we believe in Jesus. So Adam's our representative unless we believe in Jesus. And just like Adam was removed from God's garden, God's clubhouse, if you like, we are all born outside of God's garden. And then Romans 6, 7 and 8 tells us how to get back into the garden. It is to believe in Jesus, to use John's language. Now, Jesus does give us the same theology of Romans 5 to 8 in John chapter 10. He uses the metaphor of a sheep pen. And in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus tells us he is the door. Jesus says, I am the door. Now you know why I didn't go for ladder. I went for door. The sheep pen represents God's family. Jesus is telling us he is the only way in to God's family. He's the only way into the clubhouse. Who knows? Maybe if Jesus turned up today, he might actually say, instead of using a sheep pen, he might use the ladder into the clubhouse. And what we have seen week after week after week as we have worked through John's gospel over the last 4 years, is that the way through the door is belief. Belief in Jesus. Belief that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins. Jesus is the God who died and has been raised as King. Therefore, belief is not simply knowledge. The devil has lots of knowledge about Jesus. Belief is faith. Belief is submission. But belief is handing our lives completely over to Jesus as our Savior and our King. Now, for the most part, that's straightforward for us Christians. But the question we've got for today is, now that I'm in the clubhouse, what am I supposed to make of my sporadic doubts and my ever-present sin? It's really, really, really simple. Look to Jesus. But really look. Allow Jesus' gaze to capture your gaze. Do you remember how I said we'd come back to the gaze between Peter and Jesus? It's time. Peter was a monumental failure. He loudly and dogmatically denied Jesus. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, I don't know him. And in that moment, Peter and Jesus locked eyes. Here's my question for you. What face do you imagine Jesus had toward Peter. What was Jesus's posture toward Peter? We need to be a little careful because we're not told. However, we are told over and over and over through the whole story of the Bible what God is like. Last week, we looked at God's name. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, he asked God, "What's your name?" And God told him, "I am." And then a bit later on in Exodus chapter 33, we read how Moses asked to see God's glory. And God actually gave Moses a glimpse of his glory. And as God was giving the glimpse of his glory to Moses, God was also proclaiming these words, Exodus 34, verse 6. Yahweh passed before Moses and proclaimed, I am a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. On the one hand, our sin is a big problem. Sin banished Adam and Eve from the garden. Our sin continues to keep us out of the garden. On the other hand, whoever believes in Jesus is brought back in. Listen. God loves. God loves to forgive our sin, and he is compassionate with our weakness. So don't hide your sin. Don't be ashamed of your doubts. Jesus' gaze upon Peter is the same as God's gaze upon everyone who believes in Jesus. It's a gaze of mercy, of grace, patience, of steadfast love. It's the gaze of tenderness, of gentleness, and of compassion. But to know that gaze, we need to confess our sin. We need to keep repenting of our sin. We need to believe on the promises of God. Life in the clubhouse is with Jesus. And life with Jesus is daily confession and repenting and believing on the promises of God. Don't make the mistake of thinking Jesus got you into the clubhouse and now you've got to keep yourself in there. Equally, don't make the mistake of thinking that now you're in the clubhouse, sin doesn't matter. You see, what is the Christian supposed to do with ongoing doubts and ongoing sin? It's to look to Jesus. Because if we don't, we will despair or get full of pride as we think our sin doesn't matter. But here's what we'll find. If we confess daily, repent daily, believe daily, day by day, week by week, month by month, our despair will turn into more delight and our pride will get smashed into more humility. Look to Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are rich in mercy. You abound in love. You are patient. You're long-suffering. We thank you that in your mercy and in your grace, you sent Jesus both to deal with our sin and open up the door back into your family. Father, I pray for anyone here today who is yet to come to Jesus as their Saviour and King. Oh, would today be the day? And Father, for the rest of us, oh, help us to look to your Son, to receive the forgiveness, to receive the help we need to keep fighting our sin so that we can keep showing the world how good and gracious and wonderful you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.